You're listening to the Your Queer Story podcast, the podcast that inspires peace, love, and radicalism, led by your favorite hosts, Evan Jones and Paul Hobbs.
Trigger warning. Our content covers centuries of LGBTQ plus stories, and occasionally we may use outdated language or cover topics that include violence, assault, homophobia, transphobia, as well as other injustices against marginalized communities.
Make sure you subscribe and review wherever you are listening, and be sure to follow us on all social media at Your Queer Story.
And if you want exclusive content, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/yourqueerstory.
You're here, now let's get queer. We're back.
We are back, and you know, still in quarantine.
It's funny because if you listen to our podcast, there's a pattern. One week it's very like da 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 da, and then the next week it's like, okay, we're still alive. And you know why? It's because this is the second episode of that we're recording in our sitting.
Yeah, we record them 2 weeks at a time now because we are very busy people, and so we're sorry. You know, we can't be up to date.
I'm two cups of coffee and a half a monster in.
So he's doing great. I've been drinking the watermelon monsters like there's no tomorrow. I absolutely love them.
How many of those do you have a day?
I only have one a day.
Oh, okay.
So that's like fine. By no tomorrow, like I mean like I have one a day. Yeah. I have a cup of coffee a day. I have a monster a day. And if it's a really long day, I have these like sparkling water energy drinks that have like green tea in them. I'll drink that. But I really do try to watch my caffeine.
That's good. You do a better job than me. Because I have like two cups of coffee in the morning, and then I have a monster at like, I mean, a Red Bull at like 12 or 1 around lunch. Yeah. And then I might have like a little iced coffee later in the day.
Yeah.
Like if I'm not constantly shaking, am I really me?
Well, this is stimulant, right? It's like you know, it's like they say like, my daughter takes ADHD medication, and it's got caffeine in it, you know, because there's a stimulant there that helps your body regulate. Mm-hmm. I definitely need some kind of stimulant for my body.
If I don't have something, I'm literally like lying on the couch completely lifeless.
Yep. Yeah. So anyways, but here we are, and you know, we're heading into, it is Transgender Awareness Week.
Hopefully by now the election has been officially called. I'm just gonna say it just in case it's not done by the last episode.
And people are like, why didn't you mention it? Oh my god. By now, here's my prediction. By now, I want to see how close I am. By now, Donald Trump has officially sued every state. I was just gonna say he's declaring that he's not gonna leave, and he's gonna continue the recounts. He's urging Pennsylvania voters to request a recount. They're already doing the recount in Georgia. Mm-hmm. He can't request a recount in Nevada or Arizona as far as I know. So Pennsylvania and Georgia are the two places where he can request a recount. Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to try to throw the country into a state of emergency. I think he's going to try to declare a presidential state of emergency.
Oh, really?
The Democrats are trying to steal the election, and he needs to have a look at the election systems and bring in specialists.
Yeah.
I feel like is going to happen.
Probably. I'm sure there'll be shit like that. I'm sure there
crazy
will.
Crazy conspiracy shit. He's already started Twitter. Have you looked at his Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of his things is blocked out because it says, like, this is a violation of, like, you know, whatever it says. I don't know the exact wording, but you actually have to click into each of his things because Twitter itself is marking his shit as fake.
Twitter should do, the moment that this election is declared, Twitter should remove him.
Oh my god, ban him? Could you?
No, I absolutely believe that. That is the safest thing for the country. If it is declared and he has lost, they should remove him. Because all he's going to do for the next month and a half is stir up more conspiracy theories, stir up more hate. Yeah, he's literally going to call for a riot. You know, like the Proud Boys were issuing.
Stand by. They're standing by.
Well,
they didn't forget.
They were issuing a memorandum that said the president won't declare war, but if he did, there's thousands of us who would go to war. And I'm sure those motherfuckers would.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also sure that most military generals have had it up to here with Donald Trump. So I don't think they have any desire to defend him for a second longer than they have to. Mm-hmm. They're going to really have to beef up the security for Joe Biden and for Kamala Harris. Really beef it up. Which they were already talking about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to be a shit show the next couple of, because that's how 2020 had to end.
We this just would be ha- the but election you know what? We get. That, oh yeah, that's true. Instead of just like a decisive, like, this is the winner.
No, 2020 is like, no, bitch, no.
This is the grand. The this one is the season shred finale. Of
good news you got this year, you're going to wait for it. And we're going to drag it out.
This is the season finale of 2020.
Where we all walk out of this year and we're like, we don't talk about it. We don't mention it ever again. When the kids say, hey, Dad, what was it like in 2020? We're like, you don't ever bring it up.
It's just blacked out in any history book. Like, they just don't teach about it in school.
And then we go to 2021. Nobody knows what happened to the year 2020.
It's like the 2090s, the next, you know, these little kids. What happened in 2020? Because it's going to be so long ago, right? 70 years ago, they're going to be like, nobody knows. For some reason, there's just no trace of it anywhere.
they just burned.
Like it never existed.
There was a massive burning in 2021 of all records, and nobody knows what happened.
Well, my great grandpa told me.
I found this hat that said MAGA, and I don't know what it means.
Oh my god!
It means your family's trash, Cheryl.
Literally. Oh my god.
So we're fine and we're great. We're going into the holiday season and it's fine.
But I will say, actually, I didn't talk about it last episode for some reason, but David and I actually, at the time of recording, went out to dinner the night before.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever been to this place called the Treehouse.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. I had never been. It's like a gem. It's like it felt like we were in the city. Like the vibe was so nice.
Yeah.
The food was good. It was just like it felt like things were normal for like the period of time we were in there. Exactly. I mean, obviously everybody was safe with their masks and this and that, but you know, we were far enough away in our table that you didn't really see anybody else, and it just.
Well, the Treehouse is located, like, because people don't know, it's like six different rooms, and they're spread out through, because it's literally a house, and they're like on different levels.
Yeah, and one room has like an old oven furnace, and like it just, things felt normal, and it was a really nice experience.
Yeah, that's nice.
Highly recommend for any other Rhode Islanders.
That's one restaurant where you really could do that, where you could be in a place where you were spread out from people.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, it was a magical night. Really
it's,
good.
It's crazy. It's going to be crazy when we finally can, whenever that is, and, you know, 2 years when we finally can. I mean, all I want to do, again, is I want to go to a movie. That's what I miss. I miss going to movies. I love going to movies. I hope the theaters don't die.
Oh, did you see you could rent a whole movie theater for $99?
You can rent a movie theater?
Like the room. You get the whole room for $99.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have to buy the movie too? Or like what?
No, I think you just pay $99 and you tell them what you want to play on the screen, and you could bring your friends and whatever and have popcorn and stuff and watch a movie. You and the kids. And
where can you do that at?
AMC, I think.
Shut up.
Yeah, look into it.
I'm going to fucking look
into it. I don't know if they're still doing it, but I did see it. So
I'm going to look into that.
That'd be a cool
thing.
I'm going
to look into that shit. Anyways,
quarantine ramblings.
But you know, Thanksgiving, our Thanksgiving is just going to be at our house, very small.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we should get to our episode. We're doing a rant.
People are like,
there's like a rant here and then we ramble and then there's a...
This is what our life is. This is, you know, this is how we work.
All right. You got out here, sent us a voicemail.
So, oh, yeah. So we recently, as of like 3 weeks ago at this point, I think, at the time this is airing, switched to a new platform for our hosting, and they actually allow you to send in a voicemail. So if you want to, you know, I don't know, you could send in, you know, I love your podcast, I listen every week, or you could send in, hey, I'm a non-binary person from Philadelphia and this is how my life is, or, you know, anything. Just send us a message, and if it's appropriate and if we feel like it fits a theme or if it is a nice review, we'll throw it in an episode.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah.
And you can do that actually on anchor.fm/yourqueerstory, and there's a little button right there. You can do it from an app or you can do it from the website, anywhere you have a microphone, right on your phone, and send us in a little voicemail.
Yeah, so we'd love to drop some voicemails into our podcast now that, you know, after moving on to that new platform, there's so much more we can do. You can hear from us more now because it's easier for us to record our episodes. So you'll find a lot more minisodes from Paul or myself, especially on weeks where we can't read and record. So not sure what we're doing next week. We might just see like two minisodes from us, or you might see we might be able to do an episode together the week of Thanksgiving. We're not sure yet. I'd like to give you some content to listen to if you are traveling, or you know, if you just had the day off. But but yeah, so there's a lot that we can do with this platform now, so we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, and also if you listen to our podcast on any other platform but Spotify, consider checking us out on Spotify, because we do have a new segment every Monday called Music Mondays, where I kind of give a brief overview of an artist and their song, and then play the track, and you can only hear the full track on Spotify. It will not play on like Apple or anything like that.
Okay.
And I've actually reached out to a few queer artists, and they've actually sent in their own little voicemail. So I'm going to include that in the episode, and you'll get to hear directly from them about why they wrote their song. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
Looking forward to that. Making progress. Also, Coffee with Evan is I did have a video already, but I have a new video editing software, which I like. I'm using Filmora 9. And so
I think David actually uses that for his videos.
Yeah, it's good. It's really great. And it's user
WonderShare,
friendly.
I think it says.
Yeah, WonderShare. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So, but I had to upgrade to the... to the paid plan, which was fine. It's not that much considering. And so I have a video, and I uploaded it, but it has like the WonderShare a watermark, and I didn't think I would have cared, but it's like right over my face.
Oh.
So I haven't decided if I want to upload it again without the watermark yet, but I have a Coffee with Evan ready to go, and then I'll have another one, and I'm looking forward to doing those through the WonderShare editing. I'm also editing a video for World AIDS Day, a pretty big project that I'm putting together. So somehow I've turned into a video editor.
Apparently, I know. You're doing so good. Oh, right. And we got access to Canva Premium.
Yeah.
So like, we are actually upgrading our business shit, and that's all paid for by our queerstians.
That's right. Yeah. Our Patreon. So we appreciate and love you guys. Thank you so much. And we will have an announcement about our queer mentorship program and some things that are coming on December 1st. Well, actually December 2nd for you all. December 2nd, we've got an announcement coming about some stuff. So hang on to your pants. Hang on to your butts. I don't know. I say something like that to my kids. I usually say hang on to your pants. I don't know why.
Hang on to your pants?
Yeah.
You can get them to wear pants.
Shorts. I've officially become that dad that's like, you think you're walking outside with those shorts on? And I don't want to be sexist to my daughter, but I'm also like, you literally look like you're wearing underwear. I hate the long sweatshirt that covers the shorts, and then you're nine, and I can't. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not to be sexist to her. It's to keep her safe from...
I mean, if my son was walking around that, I would do the exact same thing. Like, you can't walk around in your underwear.
Well, Samantha does it.
At home.
In the yard.
I don't care if they do it at home. They can wear whatever they want at home as long as they're
wearing it. No, I know what you mean.
You want to go to school in that, and I'm just like, no, I can't. I'm sorry. So I become that dad.
Yeah.
Officially. But it's okay. She needs someone to resent, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Anyways, who started last week?
I think I did.
Okay, then I'll
start. Because you didn't have your shit together.
This week is Transgender Awareness Week, and it sits in the month of November, which is Native American History Month. With all of that in mind, we thought, what better person to cover than the newly elected Kansas Representative Stephanie Byers. Byers is a transgender Native American who is a member of the Chickasaw Nation, she is currently located in Kansas. Chickasaw Nation is located in Oklahoma. Her win has been huge, but not only for LGBTQ+ people, but also for the indigenous people of this land. Last week, we discussed the importance of Black voter turnout, and this week, we want to touch upon the Native American turnout. The activism of indigenous people showed immense support for Democrats. In some tribes, 97 to 98% of votes supported Biden-Harris. The Tohono O'odham, Hopi, Navajo, and several other smaller nations all carried Arizona, turning the state blue for the first time in 24 years.
Was John McCain also from Arizona? Which is also a fucking big smack in the face to Trump.
Yeah.
Because of how he treated McCain.
Well, that's what I mean. It's stuff like that. It's John Lewis in Georgia, John McCain in Arizona. You cannot treat representatives like that and expect for the people not to eventually be offended, right? Right. They're going to be offended.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't trying to take away that the Native Americans turned it blue. I just wanted also add that in there just to point it out. But I also think I saw something that said, like, this is the most Native American representation in elected history, I think. Yeah. I don't know if history is the right.
Election history, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. It's awesome how much... I want to say how much progress we're making, but it's really not progress. We're just catching up to where we really should have been decades ago.
I mean, to be fair, Native Americans haven't even been allowed to vote for 100 years. And with voter suppression and oppression, really, they've only been allowed to vote for 50 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are kind of like, fuck you, America. We don't even want to vote in
right.
a goddamn
fuck you.
Election.
You literally came and conquered us and killed all of our ancestors. Fuck you.
And now I'm supposed to vote for a representative. But yeah.
In Wisconsin, 82% of the Menominee Nation and a small band of Mohicans voted in support of Democrats. It is notable that 80,000 indigenous people were registered to vote in the state, and Biden won with just more than 21,000 votes. This is the first election I think we've seen in a long time where every vote really does matter.
Yeah.
Like, it literally, you know, before people would be winning by such margins, but this one's so freaking close, which is also really sad.
Yeah.
But it's incredible. Had Native Americans not shown up for this vote, it is most likely that Trump would have taken the state as he did in 2016. Similar turnouts happened in Montana, Utah, and South Dakota, though the overwhelmingly white conservative states remained in the red. In addition, Natives also managed to get six representatives elected to the U.S. Congress, as well as numerous local officials. But before we move forward with today's story, we want to pause to recognize the reality of where we have placed Indigenous people.
The voter turnout should not be interpreted as a love or support for America, even if many with mixed heritage may have affinities for our country. The truth is, we stole this land from natives through mass genocide, denied indigenous people rights for centuries, and now have leaned upon them to save the last remaining shreds of our democracy, all while silently ignoring the rise of COVID-19 cases in various tribes and nations across the land, the same way we have ignored those we imprisoned again and again for hundreds of years. It is insulting and an affront to the native people of this continent to pretend that these elections have set things right. Indigenous nations voted for Democrats in order to save their people and to gain resources that they have been denied. Once again, they have been forced to place their trust in a group that will most assuredly let them down. We only make this right by listening to tribal leaders, advocating for indigenous rights, and working to free an enslaved people. But let's talk about those within Native communities who are working to make a change for themselves and others. And we are going to move on to that, but I just want to just be really clear that most indigenous people do not want anything to do with the American system. They don't have a choice. We gave them the choice to vote in our elections and to run in our elections. What they wanted was freedom to run their own governments, mm-hmm. freedom to have their land back. That's what they wanted. So this is not a big win for Native Americans. It is in the fact that they'll have a little more say,
right.
But it is not what they're asking for. And we are
they're not like, oh my God, look at us. We were so repressed and now we're winning the system. That's not like
that's
the goal.
They don't want our system. We are enslaving them and we think that by giving them some freedoms in that slavery, it's okay, but it's not.
Absolutely.
And I guess we'll be right back. You guys are literally the best. I love you. Oh my God, I wish you were both my gay best friends and that we could go dance in a bachelorette party together. I'm inviting both of you to my bachelorette party. I love you. Thank you.
I would go. And we're back. Down in the heartland of what would later be renamed Mississippi and Alabama, the Chickasaw were a thriving people in pre-Columbus times. They developed sophisticated homes and villages utilizing trade and agriculture to sustain and grow their nation. While there was certainly a willingness to go to war if need be, for the most part, Chickasaw leaders maintained peace with surrounding tribes. This courtesy extended to foreign explorers who first came face to face with the natives in 1540. As white and Hispanic settlers began to vie for the rich soil of the Deep South, Chickasaw villages began to migrate north to Kentucky and Tennessee.
After more than 100 years of trading with the French, relations soured. During the French and Indian War, the Chickasaw sided with English settlers to help defeat and expel the French to Canada. And there's a whole history there we're not going to get into about the lies and the promises that were made. As a thank you, just 70 years later, Americans rounded up the Chickasaw along with the Cherokee, Seminole, Creek, and the Choctaw during the Trail of Tears. These five groups were given the racist label Five Civilized Tribes, which plays into that idea of like savages, that very offensive term,
right?
You know. And they were driven from their homes. The Trail of Tears was the forcible removal of approximately 60,000 indigenous people. It is estimated that anywhere from 10 to 20,000 people, or 16 to 30%, died during this death march. It would be nearly 100 years before indigenous people were allowed to leave their reservations, more than 120 years before nations were given any rights to their own government, and 130 years before a new constitution was drafted for the Chickasaw people. Today, the Chickasaw have unwillingly been assimilated to American culture, but one native, Stephanie Byers, has started her own journey down this unchosen path in order to change American governance.
Born in the heart of the Chickasaw Nation in Oklahoma in 1963, it seems that politics were never expected in Stephanie's future. She graduated from Oklahoma Christian University in 1986 with a bachelor's in music education. A few years later, she had resettled in Wichita, Kansas, and took a position as a band teacher. For the next three decades, Stephanie Byers poured herself into her work as a teacher. Her dedication brought her some local notoriety, earning her the position of director of bands and orchestras and, later, fine arts department chair at Wichita's North High School. She completed her master's of music from Kansas University in 2015.
However, a new direction for her life was taking shape as Stephanie came to terms with her gender identity. In 2014, Byers came out as transgender to her students and coworkers. She remembers stating simply, "Instead of Mr. Byers, it's now Mrs. Byers. Now let's talk about this semester's goals." Even with a brave face, it must have been a terrifying moment. However, Stephanie's impact and love for the students shone through, and they rallied to support her. When Westboro Baptist Church decided to protest the transgender teacher, the students shot back with photos and videos of rainbows and LGBTQ support. And when the exiting seniors did their annual tea-peen of the school, they chose rainbow-colored toilet paper in support of Mrs. Byers. How nice.
Right? They're like, we're still going to fucking tee-pee your shit.
We're trashing it, but it's going to be a rainbow. But perhaps their strongest show of support and love came when they nominated Stephanie for GLINSYNS, which is the Gay Lesbian Student Education Network, National Educator of the Year Award in 2018. Byers won the award.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting because it's in Kansas, right?
Exactly.
And it's just like... Definitely not the outcome you would think, yeah. Mm-hmm. After her coming out, Stephanie and her wife became more active in the Kansas LGBTQ community. For the past 2 years, Stephanie has sat on the board of Wichita Pride and served as communications director for the organization. She has attended and spoken at several rallies in Kansas, both for LGBTQ issues as well as education reform. Byers and her wife Lori present regular workshops and educational training on trans and other queer-related issues through their company Gender Training. Together, they have worked to defy the ignorant and biased perception often portrayed of Midwestern people. This work reached a new level when Stephanie announced her candidacy for state legislature in 2019.
Yeah, and you know, and it's so important to have stuff like this, especially in Kansas. And it is true, and we talked about this last episode, this idea of like everyone in the Midwest and the South are ignorant. And that's not true. Like, that's a biased perception. It's hard whenever you see so much of that.
And grew up in it.
When you grew up in it, you experienced it. And it is very different to be trans and queer in the Midwest than it is to be on the West and East Coast. It just is.
Yes.
But you can find, you know, obviously, but you have a lot of counties where you can find a lot of acceptance. And obviously Byers did. And that's wonderful. And now she can... you know, be an example to other people. And then again, just the, it's, I, what I want to talk about is like, I don't know how much her and her wife were involved in the LGBTQ community prior to her coming out. You know, this kind of this idea where you might be an ally, but you don't really see yourself as part of the community. Mm-hmm. And then you come out as trans and you're really thrown into that community real quick.
You have no choice, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. exactly. So for her to step up, like, I mean, within 4 years of coming out.
And it's a hard community to get involved into.
It is.
If I have found that a lot of organizations that lead, like pride organizations and things, they are very protective of their core group and
mm-hmm. very clicky.
It's not necessarily easy to just get involved. You really have to find your own way, and
yeah,
hopefully somebody will reach out to you, unfortunately.
Right. Exactly.
In a lot of places.
Yeah, you got to find your way. I mean, like I said, within 4 years, she's sitting on the board of the Wichita Pride, yeah. which I believe is one of the biggest pride parades in Kansas.
Wow.
If not the biggest. And then this the courage to sit as an out transgender teacher in Kansas. Because again, yeah. no matter how supportive your students may be, there's definitely backlash.
You're in Kansas, yes. 100%. Right. Exactly. Not even a question.
And so to serve out and open is that's really amazing. After Democrat Jim Ward decided to run for the U.S. Senate, a local seat was vacated. Byers had recently retired from teaching, after 29 years, by the way, but remained frustrated with the lack of funding and attention given to the Kansas public schools. And this was really, there were several reasons why she wanted to run, but this really was the reason why. I mean, LGBTQ issues are important and Native American issues, those were all big things. But mm-hmm. when you ask her what her reason was, she's a teacher for nearly 30 years.
Right.
Obviously, she's like, we need to have education reforms.
Yep.
In addition, she also saw an increased need for Medicaid expansion in the state, telling the news site cake.com, K-A-K-E.com. I don't know. I was trying to figure out what it stood for. Kansas something. So, but she told cake.com, I've seen up close the personal young families that struggle with health care because they fell in a place that a simple expansion of Medicaid in the state of Kansas would help them immensely. I felt passionately about the fact that there needs to be another voice that will stand and say, yes, we can help. How can we help? Not why we can't, but how can we? What are the ways that we can do it to make this expansion happen?
Yeah, great for her. And it's also, it's nice to see an openly out trans woman running on a platform that is more than just queer rights.
Right.
Because a lot of times, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're an mm-hmm. out queer person, you're running on queer rights, that's great. You're a great help to the community. But this, I feel like, one, she probably wouldn't have won running on solely that. But two, it just shows that we're normal people just like everybody else. We have the same goals, the same desires, and we want to see the same great things happen for our communities.
Right. Well, it's like Donica Rome in Donica Rome in Virginia mm-hmm. running on rebuilding their highways and better road construction.
Right.
You know, like every day people are driving down these streets and their streets are trash, and she's like, someone needs to do something. I'm gonna fucking do it. And people keep trying to make it about the fact that she's transgender, and she's really like, I just want to fix our fucking roads.
Right.
And once they got through their head that they're like, this person really cares about these issues, yeah, you're gonna win. Same thing in Kansas. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you care about the fact that you have medical care. You care about the fact that your kids are getting a good mm-hmm. education. We are so much more than just LGBTQ. It is a big part of our identity. But she even answered that in one question. She's like, yes, I am a trans woman. I'm also a Native American. I'm also a teacher. I'm also a citizen. I also own a motorcycle. Like,
right.
I'm a normal person like everyone else right. with the same concerns.
And I wish people would understand that there would be no need for queerness without the need for straightness. If yeah. people didn't have to prove they were so straight, there would be no need for a queer identity to yeah. be anything more than just like, oh, okay, that's how you are.
Exactly. Yeah. We are forced to be proud of who we are because we have to make people aware of the fact that we're being discriminated against. If there were not laws discriminating against LGBTQ people, there would be no need for us to so-called flaunt it.
Right.
And to say, we shout it from the rooftop so that our friends and families can know, when you vote for measures against LGBTQ people, you're voting against me. That's why
yes,
I'm telling you.
You're voting
so that
me.
You know that what you're doing is directly hurting me.
Mm-hmm. Even with opponents attempting to distract from Byers' running points by focusing on her transgender status, the local district was not having it. On November 3rd, Byers took the legislature seat with a majority vote of 54% compared to the runner-up's 45%. Not only will she become the first transgender lawmaker in Kansas, but in the entire Midwest. She also becomes the first transgender Native American elected to any state legislature. We congratulate you, Stephanie, on your historic win and wish you all the best on your journey forward.
And as for our listeners, as you prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving this year, we strongly encourage you take a pause. We don't mean to say it isn't important to remember to be grateful for what we have, but also to remain honest about how we got here. Remember that we must do so much better than our forefathers. That for the spirit of Thanksgiving to really shine through, we must follow the example of the Chickasaw and not the Pilgrims. Your recommended resource is Spaces Between Us, Queer Settler Colonialism and Indigenous Decolonization by Scott L. Morganson. We also suggest the book Custard Died for Your Sins, An Indian Manifesto by Vine Delora Jr. And we have also attached a short YouTube documentary on an overview of America's treatment of Indigenous nations. I just suggest, you know, take time, be grateful, enjoy time with your family if you can, or whatever group that you are can safely be around. And there's other so many other ways you can also connect through your with your family through Zoom and other platforms. But just, you know, remember, like, we want to move forward. We want to get better. We want to progress.
Also, speaking of moving forward and progressing, Biden just won the election.
Yeah.
we just found out in the middle of recording this episode.
So, I mean, when you're listening to this episode, it's 2 weeks later and you're like, we know, but we just found out literally while we were recording. So for us, you know, I'm sure the next few weeks are going to be filled with a bunch of shit, but, you know, we just... I don't know.
We can breathe a little easier, I think.
Yeah, you just... It's exactly it. You can breathe and there's just hope. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to explain the feeling of like not even realizing how much you were waiting for an answer to come and just finally having it, you know? Like, just the weight of like... We don't have to fucking listen to that moron anymore.
Yes.
I never have to listen to Donald Trump again and care and cringe.
Also, wasn't he the first like 4-year, one term president like in a very long time?
In like 30 years since George H.W. Bush. But he was the first, as far as George H.W. Bush, people forget, came off of 8 years of another Republican. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time that we've had just 4 years of one party in a very long time.
You know what I think? I think that this is the end of the episode, everybody, so you can turn it off if you don't want to listen to me rant. But I think that the Republican Party ruined themselves.
Oh, of course they did.
By forcing Trump in and like just, I mean, not that they forced him in, he did win the election, whatever, but like by rather than saying, you know what, Donald Trump, we're not letting you run, like they all jumped behind him and burned their party to the ground.
They did.
And I think that their party is going to suffer for a very long time because of that.
They really did. I mean, of all the people that you could have backed, you bet on hate. And to be fair, again, looking at this, 70,591,000 Americans voted for Donald Trump. So to act as if this was an accident that happened, that he just somehow got in the presidency, I might believe that if only 30 million people had voted this time, but it was one of the closest races we've had in a long time. And well, it was close mostly because of the pandemic. When you look at close presidential races, Biden actually has a significant lead compared to other races. But it was a lot closer than it should have been when you have a man of that disgusting low level of character.
Disgusting hate.
Yes.
So, I actually pre-made a graphic for Instagram.
Already.
I'm posting this right when it's fresh.
Do it. You know, and like I said, it's just the beginning, people. Like, there is so much. All we're doing is regaining ground. And hopefully, you know, Biden gets in there, he regains the crowd, and then he gets the fuck out of there in 4 years, and he lets someone else take over, and we actually start progressing. But I'm not going to criticize Biden today. You know why? Because I am very happy that he beat Donald Trump. And that he is better than Donald Trump.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to say. So I'm going to say thank you to him for all his fucking faults and just be grateful that I don't have to fucking cringe every time our president comes on the TV. Anyways.
With that, stay queer.
Don't get lobotomy.
We love you, our little allied hookers.
And our succulent sapphists.
And resist the oppressors, our proud homocrats.
And have yourself the greatest, gayest sodomy circus you've ever had, complete with blue confetti.
Or don't. And black lives will always matter.
Thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe and review wherever you are listening and follow us on social media at Your Queer Story.
Like what you heard? Want to share your story? Send us a voice message to add to the podcast from the Anchor app or at anchor.fm/yourqueerstory.
And if you would like to support the work we do or get exclusive content, check us out on patreon.com/yourqueerstory.
See you next week.
Bye.